Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
You're listening to White Plains Hospital Health Talk right here on Westchester Talk Radio.
White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day.
Welcome to Health Talk. From White Plains Hospital, I'm Laura Smith. Great to be here today. Well, in the first half of our show, we're going to be speaking with Jennifer Hoffman, a social worker at White Plains Hospital here, who will open your eyes about what a social worker does and an important role they play for patients and families. Then we're going to be turning to nurse and certified lactation consultant Anne Cunalera. She's going to be speaking with us about the myths and the realities of breastfeeding. And after that, we're going to be returned from a break. We're going to have registered dietitian Cheryl Leslie. She's going to be talking about eating healthy and what that really means. Lots of myths surrounding that. And then we're going to wrap it up with a chat from Sari Menza. Now I'd like to welcome our very first guest this morning on Health Talk, Jennifer Hoffman. Jennifer Hoffman is a licensed clinical social worker and a board-certified case manager. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, it's great to have you here. I know that myself and probably a lot of people out there, we hear the word social worker all the time. We think we know what it is. But to be honest with you, I really am not sure exactly what a social worker does and what their practice is. Tell us all about it. Tell us about your role here in the hospital.
So social work practice really is to help connect people with the resources and the services they need. Sometimes that means that the social worker themselves does that type of work or connects whoever the person is who needs the support, the service, with whatever it is they need. So here in the hospital, as a case manager, I focus primarily on helping patients transition from the hospital to wherever they discharge to home or to a rehabilitation facility or any other type of hospitalization they need. In that, there's also a lot of patients who are having difficulty with understanding their diagnoses or new kind of traumatic diagnoses, and social workers really help to assist patients in understanding the emotional process and in understanding their disease process and also making sure that they have the right supports and resources, and not just for the patients themselves, but also for their families and loved ones.
That's so interesting. I don't know why I was thinking that a social worker was part psychologist, and that's about as far as I would get on it. So does that fit into it in any way?
So social workers can do private practice, and I'm sure definitely in Westchester County there are a lot of social workers practicing in private psychotherapy practices, in community-based mental health organizations, psychiatric hospitals. Here in White Plains Hospital, there is the outpatient mental health department, and they are staffed with psychologists and social workers who do provide that clinical one-on-one support. They actually have a great program for patients or for the community, not even patients. And in our emergency room, we actually have we're kind of unique, White Plains Hospital, in the sense that there are a lot of different social workers in different arenas of social work practice. So we have, psychiatric social workers in the emergency room. We have the outpatient mental health department. There's palliative care social workers. There's a social worker who is in charge of the caregiver support program. And so we're kind of in everything, social workers.
Wow. Okay, so yeah. You're sort of helping people through the process of what they're going through, but by offering services for them or recommending?
Really connecting people with what they need. So if there's a family who needs more support with regard to whatever they as a family are dealing with or that their loved one is dealing with, we can connect them with different types of support groups or organizations that may be able to help them. And in the process, we're helping them, with the first steps of, generally the first steps of understanding and dealing with the emotional component of a hospitalization.
Very interesting. Okay. Now, what are some of the largest populations and challenges that you are dealing with here in the hospital? What is the most common thing that I guess you would say that you deal with?
The largest population here at White Plains Hospital would be the geriatric population, and they have a specific set of needs, and we really try to meet their needs by helping them to plan for their futures and helping their families to understand what that means, and really making sure that they have everything they need, not just the patient but also the family, when it comes time to leave the hospital, you know, throughout the hospital stay, and also when it comes time to leave the hospital.
Okay. And we've heard so much about, you know, the drug crisis and so forth. So if somebody has to come to the hospital, say for maybe an overdose or something like that, they obviously need more support outside of just coming in for that moment. Is that when a social worker would step in and help them through the process, or their families?
So absolutely. A social worker would definitely be seeing the patient. If someone came into the hospital with an overdose, a social worker would absolutely be seeing them here in the hospital, involving their family as appropriate, and really helping to connect them with what type of supports they need in the community and in their day-to-day life, so that they don't have another overdose and that they are, you know, successful and happy and content and understanding in their lives.
For you, what do you most love about being a social worker? What do you most love? And then if you have any anecdotal stories about, obviously you don't use names or anything, but about a situation where you feel that you made the biggest impact here at White Plains Hospital as the social worker.
Well, I definitely love working with patients and their families. And I would say that every time a patient and family leave the hospital or are in the hospital and leave the hospital with just a sense of understanding and a sense of comfort in the next steps for their entire family, I know I've done what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And do you have a lot of success around your type of work, do you feel?
I would like to think I do, yeah. I mean, I've met with some families who are going through some really, really difficult moments where they're losing their loved ones, or even when they're, you know, when they're having a new child, you know, brought into the world, and they've just had a child, and it's crisis. Both are crises. And so I feel I've been able to help people understand where they are in emotionally and physically in the process, and to be able to help them understand how things have gotten to where they have and what they can do to kind of move forward. And I think there has been success for myself, and I know definitely for my colleagues as well.
That's wonderful. Jennifer Hoffman, licensed clinical social worker and board certified case manager here at White Plains Hospital. Thank you for all you do for the patients in our community.
Thank you.
I know it's very important work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And this is Health Talk. From White Plains Hospital, I'm Laura Smith, back with more.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
White Plains Hospital Health Talk.
Here every day, right here on Westchester Talk Radio.
Hear from medical experts on current health trends and topics in the news.
Welcome back to Health Talk, brought to you by White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. My guest right now is Ann Cunalera. She's a neonatal nurse and board-certified lactation consultant. So that is something near and dear to my heart, no pun intended. I breastfed my daughter for 2.5 years, which I know for some people is like, wow, how'd you do that? But I don't know. It was just the thing that I felt was right for me, right for her, and the most natural thing at the time. So I, however, did not have a lactation consultant, and I wish I had. So it's great to have you here, Anne, and I know you're going to help a lot of expectant mothers and just people in general, because anybody who is around a mom who is breastfeeding or needs to breastfeed needs to know kind of what to deal with and how to approach the whole situation, right?
Yes.
It's a big controversy.
Thank you for having me.
Hi. Great to have you. So for our expectant moms, can you tell us the 3 most common myths about breastfeeding that you must hear all the time?
Yeah, there are many myths about breastfeeding. A common myth that I do hear is that breastfeeding should be easy. It's a natural process and therefore should be easy. But in fact, most mothers do face many challenges in the early days and weeks of breastfeeding. Another myth I hear often is mothers are worried that they will not make enough milk for their baby. So a condition that would cause that is fairly rare. Most mothers make an abundance of milk, and oversupply is actually not uncommon. There are some situations where low milk supply may happen, but there are strategies to help get a mom into full milk supply. Another myth that I find as an unfortunate myth is that you should not breastfeed a sick baby, a baby with a cold or GI issue, upset stomach, loose stools, when in fact you absolutely should breastfeed a sick baby. It's besides the immunity that the breast milk has for the baby, it provides necessary fluid to prevent dehydration, as well as provides a great source of comfort for a sick baby.
Absolutely. That was what I was happy about. And I'm not saying this happens with everyone, but I do know that my daughter never once had an ear infection. And I knew babies that didn't breastfeed who were literally on antibiotics from the time they were born until like the first 5 years of school. So I don't know if there's a correlation with that technically, but I felt like there might be.
There definitely is. Yeah. You know, we talk about the many benefits of breast milk. A lot of people know about the immunologic benefits. But besides preventing acute illnesses like otitis media, middle ear infection, which is a very common infancy childhood illness, breast milk also prevents, it's considered actually the number one preventative measure for disease and long-term chronic illness.
And even it affects health later on in
absolutely.
The adult's life. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it does. Not just for babies that are breastfed, but it also, there are many well-documented benefits for mothers in the early postpartum period, as well as in the future, preventing certain cancers such as breast cancer, cervical, endometrial, osteoporosis. The list goes on and on.
And it's interesting because not only the nutrition is within the breast milk itself, but I heard that actually the sucking mechanism is also conducive to like brain function and development and everything.
And,
is this true?
And oral function as well. Breastfed babies have, they develop just different muscles in their mouth, helps with teeth alignment. It's been shown to help with digestion, with the way the baby swallows and its saliva, leading to less gas, colic,
yes,
and digestive issues.
Really amazing. It's just kind of the way nature intended it. But I know that mothers now are told, look, don't stress out if you can't do it. So many young mothers I know are very nervous about it. And, my mom in her era, she was on a military base hospital at the time. And she had both, for both of her babies, her breasts were bound. So
wow.
That she wouldn't produce
yeah.
milk. That was in the days when formula was just being introduced into the marketplace.
Right, right.
And I guess they wanted to, I can't even imagine that. But, people, I was raised without being breastfed, and apparently I was almost dehydrated one time and had to go to a hospital, you know, because my, my mother didn't know how much, you know, I needed. So,
Times have changed, you know, and it's backed by evidence. And, you know, we know a lot more now than we did back then. And it's really indisputable that breast milk is unmatched with any kind of artificial milk. And breastfeeding really is a culture, and you really need to have a lot of support, not just from your family and people around you, but from government and medical institutions as well to make sure breastfeeding happens.
So a new mother now, are they told that they have a choice?
Of course. There's always a choice. It should always be a choice, but it should be an informed choice. And I liken it to anything else. Like, you can buy organic food or you can buy non-organic food, right? So that's a choice you have. I think mothers are much more informed now. I think here, particularly at White Plains Hospital, we do a great job of educating our mothers prenatally. I run a prenatal breastfeeding class along with the other IBCLCs, and I highly recommend that expectant parents come, and partners, and your partner could be your mom or your sister, come and learn more about the facts. We do a lot of that myth busting, and really try to, you know, take away a lot of the false things you hear on the internet, and try to give parents good, you know, expectations, realistic expectations of breastfeeding and what it entails.
Have you seen that society at large in the United States is changing their attitudes towards breastfeeding? Is it becoming a more relaxed? I grew up overseas, so it wasn't a big deal. But here, you know, you still hear about people, you know, getting a little uptight when they see a breastfeeding mother. It, you know,
I think it's definitely changing, definitely for the better. We also have a breastfeeding support group that we run weekly. It's amazing. We actually have two support groups, one for mothers that are facing challenges early on, and then they can graduate onto a long-term group that gathers weekly. And these are moms that are living the breastfeeding lifestyle today in our culture. They're preparing to go back to work, and we it's wonderful. We have robust conversations about the breastfeeding lifestyle, which can be isolating in our culture today, and preparing to go back to work and all that great stuff. So I think there's a lot more support now for breastfeeding mothers, and you know, we try to normalize it any way we can. And I think that really does start also with hospital initiatives, and White Plains is in the process of getting a baby-friendly designation. And Baby Friendly USA is an organization that really recognizes and awards hospitals that put into place policies and standards of care, very high standards of care, that provide an optimal environment for mother-baby bonding and breastfeeding outcomes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Absolutely good to know. And what is exclusive breastfeeding? This is a term I'm hearing about.
Yeah, so exclusive breastfeeding is simply defined as a newborn infant receiving only breast milk as their sole source of nutrition for about 6 months. That means nothing else but breast milk, no other fluid, artificial milk, formula, solid foods, no water, just breast milk. And that's a recommendation coming from the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as the World Health Organization. So these are prestigious medical communities that promote this.
That's incredible. Yeah. I was told that at 4 months, when their teeth start to come in, that's when they start on foods.
Some babies do. Some babies are ready for solids, and that's why it says about 6 months. That's what the recommendation says. And then to continue breastfeeding, you know, for the first year or two and beyond. They're discovering the benefits of beyond 2 years as well as the baby grows.
Yes. 2.5 was, my daughter was very tiny and short, and when about the time she would walk up to me in the public and lift my shirt up and say milk, then I was like, well, okay, I think we need to have a conversation about this.
That's a great accomplishment. You should be very proud of yourself. And as you've experienced, she's healthy.
She is. Thankfully, yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's just such an incredible service, and I can only imagine how the support that expectant mothers have here at White Plains Hospital. I've been here twice myself, and not to have a baby, mm-hmm. but for other things, and it's just really the most caring atmosphere, and I wish I could have had my
yes.
baby here.
Yeah, it's a great environment, and there really is a priority to ensure that new families are getting all the support they need and that the staff is really well educated and trained in breastfeeding management and
Ann Cunalera, you're a rock star as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure all the expectant moms are here and the women who deliver their babies. How can people find you? What's the easiest way?
So you can reach me at the lactation department at my number, 914-681-2214.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And once again, this is Health Talk brought to you by White Plains Hospital. We have more guests to come, all interesting and all exclusively here at the wonderful White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. We'll be right back.
I was rehearsing for a dance and my knee just popped. Everyone around me, their faces just dropped.
At 15, Julia Oliveri suffered a painful knee injury while practicing for a dance competition.
I knew that it just wasn't right.
After surgery and a year of physical therapy, Julia still couldn't dance. That's when she went for a second opinion with Dr. Rick Weinstein at White Plains Hospital.
The MRI showed a tear in the cartilage. The tear was what was causing her problem.
He performed minimally invasive knee surgery.
Julia is an athlete. For her, the recovery is so important. And because it's such small incisions, the same day I have her up and walking.
Just 2 months later, Julia was back in the dance studio.
I was very impressed with White Plains Hospital. I could finally dance again and do what I love.
Expert orthopedic surgery helped this teen dance competitor get back on her toes. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Find your pain relief. Call 914-849-MYMD. That's 914-849-MYMD, a member of the Montefiore Health System.